This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Organization to our listserv. We will be holding our bi-monthly public meetings in the community in coalition with our organizations. Send us your contact information, name, email, and phone to WBAI Community, that's one word, at yahoo.com. That's WBAI Community at yahoo.com. Thank you.
And with that, it is exactly midnight on listener supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. Here in New York City, La Manzana Grande. So big shout out to you for everybody who gave it up for Delphine Blue. I see that she hit 1,000 smackaroos. That's a good sign. Good sign. Maybe things are moving in the right direction here at WBAI at last. So do stay tuned for what's coming up next, which, of course, would be this. Moorish, Orthodox, Radio, Crusade, Anarchism for the Global City, Radical Environmentalism for the Concrete Jungle, Esoteric Explorations of the Secret History of Rebel Culture, The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Merşuşa dilim l'ayırdır ve'l miskin. ولا تجيبي حدابة وإن جيتي وجبتي حدا معاكي لهد الدار واجعلها خرابة
Good stuff, good stuff. Opening up with some sounds of Amal Merkus, the Palestinian female vocal master, from her apparently new album, Nana Ya Nana, which I am told means mint leaves in both Arabic and Hebrew. And there is a lovely picture of her on the cover holding a bunch of mint leaves in her hands. This was actually sent to me from, this was purchased in Israel and sent to me by our good friend Mitch Ritter. Thank you, Mitch. So maybe there's an American or European release which has got the liner notes in both in English as well as Arabic. But this, well, let's see. Actually, there's a little bit of English here, although it's overwhelmingly in Arabic. Let's see. Which cuts did we just hear? We just heard cuts 1 and 6. So the first one was Marshusha, which means sprinkled with perfume, blessing the house of a new wed couple. And then we heard cut 6, which is Skaba, shedding tears, agonizing over the loss of both one's homeland and beloved ones. Well, so let's say that the first cut, Marshusha, speaks more to the putting an optimistic spin on the situation here at WBAI. And certainly cut 6, Skaba, shedding tears, having more to do with a larger situation in the world, and particularly that of the Palestinians. I'd like to talk a little bit about various things tonight. One of which is, well, the fact that we're in a fund drive. I am not going to have to pitch, but the fund drive continues. We did very successfully, by our standards, the two nights that we did have to pitch. So I want to thank everybody who pitched, and I want to prevail upon you to, I mean, everybody who pledged when we were pitching, and I want to prevail upon you to pay your pledge. Very, very important. Pledging is a good start, but it's not enough. You've got to follow through and pay your pledge, because BAI really needs the money. And as you know, we don't have to belabor the fact that we are in a deep financial crisis. The good news is that the fund drive, it appears, is being successful. Our goal was $800,000, which is what we need to get out of the black, out of the red, and into the black. It looks like we're probably going to make it. I should bite my tongue, right? But it looks like we're probably going to make it, because we still have a few days to go, and we're already at 600,000 and change. So this is a hopeful sign, optimistic sign. So there are changes being made at the station. We'll talk about that a little bit later this evening. Just for the record, I want to say that, my misgivings about affecting regime change in the middle of a fund drive have not been vindicated happily. Maybe things are actually working out for the best. But we'll get back to that later. There's a few other things I want to say before we delve into some analysis of WBAI and Pacifica. And I feel the need to do this because, as I say, the fund drive is still going on. I'm still appealing to people. Even though you've missed your opportunity to pledge for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, this fund drive, I'm still appealing to people who are listening to the sound of my voice, who are not members of WBAI, to become a member of WBAI before this fund drive ends. I'm not sure if there's anybody back in Tally to take your call now at 212-209-2950, but you can try. But even if there isn't, you can make a pledge online with your credit card or call back when somebody is there to answer the phone. As a part of keeping up my end of the bargain with the listeners, I mean, I sort of played this game the last week that I was pitching, where I said that if we broke 600 by 1 o'clock in the morning, then we would open up the lines and take phone calls on the question of WBAI and the changes which are going on here. We did. We broke the 600 and we took phone calls. So now, I'd like to continue that discussion, since the drive is not over, but I don't have to pitch tonight. And as a gesture of good faith, because I know many people are very concerned with the situation, maybe we'll keep going with the discussion tonight. With the caveat that You know, I don't want this radio show to just be about WBAI. It sort of defeats the purpose of radio if all you ever talk about is the radio station, right? You know, it gets a little bit self-obsessive. So there are a few other things I'd like to at least briefly touch on before we move into some non-self-referential programming, hopefully beginning next week, just as last week we had some slightly discombobulated non-self-referential programming. So, that said, okay, a few minor things I want to touch on before we talk about WBAI a little bit more, and maybe we'll take some listener phone calls in around 45 minutes, if all goes well, and I get through everything I want to say in the next 45 minutes and hear a little bit more from Amal Merkus. Maybe we will, for the last half hour of the show. No, not now, you who's trying to call in, not now. But for the last half hour of the show, take your calls at 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900 is the number to call live on the air, as opposed to the number to call to make a pledge, 212-209-2950. If you desire to make a pledge, there might be somebody back in Tally. Maybe they haven't left yet. So, just on the question of on the question of headlines and on the question of the Palestinian struggle, just by way of analogy, you know, it's really been kind of frustrating to watch what's been happening in Sri Lanka over the course of the past several months and how nearly invisible it's been to the outside world. Now, there were, quite rightly, vociferous protests over Israel's aggression against Gaza, which started in late December and continued for about 3 weeks, exacting a horrific toll in civilian casualties and infrastructure and, you know, the bombing of hospitals and all these sorts of atrocities. There was, quite rightly, a huge global outcry about it. Now, you could argue that that global outcry maybe didn't do the victims much good, but at least history will note that Israel was not able to commit these war crimes without extremely strong and worldwide protests. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for Sri Lanka, for reasons which perhaps we could discuss. But putting aside the question of the reasons, let's just note the phenomenon. It's largely being portrayed as a victory against terrorism without much acknowledgement, except for, you know, the requisite statements from Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch and so on. But, you know, not like, you know, thousands of people marching in the street all over the world, that what the Sri Lankan government has been doing has been a prime example of state terrorism. They've been doing everything which the Israeli government did in Gaza, initially over a much larger swath of territory, which was not nearly so densely populated, but as they, over the course of the past several months, have closed the ring on the one little patch of land controlled by the Tamil Tigers in the north of the country, it became more and more akin to Gaza, where there were the civilian population was caught in a very small strip of territory, and were at the mercy of aerial bombardment, and hospitals were hit, and people's homes were hit, and there was a horrific toll in civilian casualties. And the major difference is that the world hardly paid any note. And finally, you know, they won. And it would be as if Israel, instead of, you know, pursuing its military campaign in Gaza for 3 weeks and then backing off in the face of global outcry and the change in Washington, as if Israel had continued not for 3 weeks, but for how many months has it been? Because the assault in Sri Lanka began just about the same time as that in Gaza. So December, January, February, March, April, May, 5 months of the civilian population living under this kind of terror raining down on them from the skies. No outcry. Very, very little. I don't know if there were any protests in New York about it. If there were, it was probably just from the Tamil community. Certainly not generalized protests. And I'm not saying all this because I'm a fan of the Tamil Tigers. And I'm not a fan of the Tamil Tigers any more than I'm a fan of Hamas. But that doesn't mean that the civilian populace of the area, which was coming under aerial bombardment and was caught in the military ring of the Sri Lankan army's offensive, was not entitled to basic human solidarity, just as the residents of Gaza were. So, because I don't have any Tamil music, we're playing Amal Mirkus tonight in solidarity with the Tamils of northern Sri Lanka, who are now facing a really, really bleak situation. A humanitarian disaster, massive civilian casualties, something like 20,000 people displaced, and not making headlines. So there's a situation which warrants some attention. And one hopes now that obviously all of the Sinhalese in Sri Lanka are celebrating the great victory over terrorism, just as the majority of Israelis, although by no means all of them, and I imagine not all of the Sinhalese either, supported the military assault. But the Tamils are very, very wary that there are going to be reprisals against them in the aftermath of this. So this is a situation to watch, and I wish more people were watching. And if I had Tamil music, I would play that. Maybe somebody out there can give the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade some Tamil music. Or if you understand Arabic, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what Amal Mirkus was singing about. And we'll hear more from Amal Mirkus shortly. Okay, a couple of more things I want to get off my chest. One is there's a photo on the cover of the New York Times today, above the fold, this beautiful, beautiful photo of Broadway, the middle of Broadway, in the middle of the day, without a car in sight, and pedestrians milling about, and people have got their lawn chairs in the middle of the street, relaxing, enjoying the sun. And I just saw this picture, and it just made me smile. What a beautiful thing. And the caption reads, "Tourists and New Yorkers alike lounged in the middle of Broadway on Monday, a day after the city opened the five-block-long Times Square pedestrian mall." So, but then I noted the headline is, "Lose the traffic, keep that Times Square grit." And Nikolai Orosov, the architecture writer for the New York Times, notes happily that Times Square hasn't lost its grit in spite of being closed to automobile traffic. Now, of course, those of us who remember Times Square 25 years ago, it actually has lost a great deal of its grit. But this actually, in his opening paragraphs here, are actually quite astute, particularly for the New York Times. And very much summed up exactly what I was thinking, because initially when I saw the photo, I smiled because, anything which means less cars on the street and more elbow room for pedestrians and for human beings. Gee, imagine, right? The city's supposed to be for human beings, for inhabitants, for citizens, and not for the toxin belching death machines. Anything that looks like it's going in that direction, my initial reaction is to smile. And then I think about, inevitably, the potential cloud on the silver lining, so to speak, which Nikolai Orosov actually sums up quite well. When New York City announced a plan to shut down parts of Times Square to traffic, New Yorkers' reactions ranged from bemusement to mild hysteria. Despite reassurances from the Transportation Department that the changes would create a greener, more pedestrian-friendly city, some critics of the plan worried that it would sap the square of its chaotic energy. Others, apparently nostalgic for the seediness of the 1970s version of the square, that would be me, by the way, denounced it as another step in New York's transformation from the world's greatest metropolis to a generic tourist trap. Well said, Nikolai Orosov. Well, I'm happy to report that a day after the stretch of Broadway between 42nd and 47th Streets was closed to cars, the soul of Times Square remains intact. The neon still sparkles, tourists still wander around bewildered, the whiff of last night's junk food still hangs in the air, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, I'd like to be so optimistic, but I'm glad that he did note that some New Yorkers are wary about this, and it's not only, you know, the Nimrods who are, singing, nobody's going to take my car, I'm going to chase it to the ground. Not only the gearheads who are wedded to their toxin-belching death machines, but some of us actually, such as myself, who, I'll use the H word. I hate cars. I really do. I hate them. I go everywhere on a bicycle. I don't have a driver's license. I never learned how to drive. The last one in America, and I'm proud. Maybe not quite the last, but certainly a small minority, and I couldn't live anywhere but New York. On account of that, New York City, NYC, the Big Apple. Right, but I am also wary that this might actually be a step towards the, ironically, the destruction of New York as the unique entity that I have known and loved all of my life, or known and had a love-hate relationship with all my life. And this could be a step towards, turning Manhattan Island into a sort of a Disneyfied Manhattan land, and, charging the tourist $14 to enter it, $14 a head to enter it. And, the poor fools out in the outer boroughs who want to come in are going to have to get a special pass to come in, like Israeli, like Palestinians trying to get across the Green Line into Israel. Eventually they'll put up a plastic dome over Manhattan. So, this could be getting rid of cars could be a step towards the sort of privatization of Manhattan. And rather than it being, political elbow room and more, both literal space and, figurative political space, freedom, if you will, for, the human inhabitants of the city, it could just be sort of a lateral move and moving away from, domination by the cult of the automobile and the toxin-belching death machines to domination by private interests and, the privatization of public space. So while the photo made me smile, there's also like this nagging thought that, it's kind of like the plan to put tolls on the bridges and, make motorists coming in from the outer boroughs pay. On one hand, almost instinctively, I support the idea. But then on the other hand, I really can't quite go along with it because, it seems like it's a step towards the privatization of Manhattan and people who, need to come in for, their livelihood in order to work and, people who are making deliveries and so on can't take public transportation. It's going to, disproportionately hurt the working class and that's really not fair. So, sort of got mixed feelings about it. And ultimately I would come down on the side of no to the question of, charging motorists from the outer boroughs to come into Manhattan. Now, I don't know if I would come down on the question of no for this five-block-long Times Square pedestrian mall. I think I would come down on the side of yes, but with misgivings, with my eyes open. So, there. I've gotten my two rants out of the way at exactly 12:30. How appropriate. Here on listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. And that's what we're going to talk about next. We're going to talk about WBAI here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with me, Bill Weinberg, 12:30 in the a.m. Got a handwritten letter in the mail from a listener. Nothing makes me happier than that. All, you know, 100 cranky phone calls don't come anywhere close to one handwritten letter in my mailbox. So I'm not going to mention the listener's name because she did not give me leave to do so, and I will protect her privacy. But I thank you very much. She expresses appreciation for the fact that I played Citizen Kafka and the Wretched Refuse String Band on the last fundraising show that we did 2 weeks ago. And she ends her missive with a call with the changes, which are apparently underway here at BAI, to bring back Robert Knight and Earthwatch, which is a call that I heartily second. Yes, that's a good idea. Bring back Robert Knight and Earthwatch. If there are going to be any programming changes here, let's bring back Robert Knight and Earthwatch. See, the problem is that once you, you know, bring on another show, then, you know, that creates... I mean, I wouldn't want to bounce Ron Daniels, who's now in Robert Knight's place, because I think he does a fine show. So it does create something of a dilemma. But nonetheless, if there could be some room found for Earthwatch... I mean, I was such a huge fan of Earthwatch. Much as I disagreed with Robert Knight about many things, and he knows that I disagreed with him about many things. For starters, he was a big space booster, and I'm a big space skeptic. And we had a sort of a friendly rapport going back and forth about this over the years, as well as about other issues. But nonetheless, I was an avid listener to Earthwatch. You know, there wasn't a Wednesday night that I missed it, that I was in New York for, my God, 15 years or more. So I'd sure like to get Robert Knight back. And... okay, now we'll do a little bit of talking about BAI. Let's play a little bit more of Amal Mercus first. But the one thing which I'll say is that, you know, I'm hoping that in the next half hour that I'm going to be discussing WBAI, I'm not going to be arguing a position, propounding a POV, but merely exploring the issue and looking at the question from various sides and encouraging discussion. But as a prelude, I will say this, that those of you who are protesting the what is being called the purge of certain key figures at the station at the moment, where were you when Robert Knight was bounced? Just a question for your consideration while we play a little bit more of Amal Mercus. Then we'll mix it up for about a half an hour. I say optimistically, it might turn into more than a half an hour. About WBAI, and then, if time permits, we'll take listener phone calls in the remaining time, which, knock on wood, will be around a half an hour. So let's hear a little bit more from Amal Mercus, and then we'll get right back to you with some yakking.
يا كوسة منقول في كانون
احيا سمره سمارك بحل خرجك البري لربيت في الفي انا اخدت الفوز انا على الصدر بكسر جوز ولوز روحي يا بيضة يا مسقعك البوز بتموز الحاني جنداني في الفي
عي على البي عي على البي انا بدنا شوف الضي ناوي فرح المشي
عملنا هالغناوي تنسى الستة
You know, music just doesn't get any better than that. That's what I say. Well, I played two cuts instead of one because I just couldn't resist, which means that now I only have 20 minutes, so I better get started real fast if I'm going to get through everything in time to take listener phone calls, which, quite frankly, is doubtful. But let's not waste any more time. Let's just jump right into it. Okay. You know, One of the callers that we took when that show 2 weeks ago when we were when we took calls because we broke $600 before the last half hour of the show, one of the callers suggested that we read the Pacifica mission statement just to you know, keep our eye on the ball and remember what WBAI is supposed to be all about. And probably a lot of you who listen to this show have never actually read or heard read the Pacifica mission statement. People listen to this radio station have probably never actually heard the Pacifica mission statement. So, and it's very short, and I'm going to read it. By way of a little bit of historical background, probably most of the listeners are aware of this. The Pacifica Network was founded in, I believe, 1949, by Lou Hill, who was a conscientious objector who refused to fight in the Second World War on pacifist grounds, and as a consequence of this was actually put in what can only be called an internment camp up in, I believe, the Rocky Mountains somewhere for most of the war. And when he got out, he returned to the San Francisco Bay Area, where he joined with like-minded pacifists, bohemians, intellectuals, etc. And in, you know, the wake of the just staggering destruction of the Second World War and the opening of the Cold War and the era of nuclear weapons, founded the Pacifica Network, beginning with the flagship, I would say now BAI is the flagship station, but people in Berkeley might disagree with me, but certainly then KPFA in Berkeley was the flagship station and the first station, founded with the extremely idealistic, some would say naive, but nonetheless worthwhile notion that radio could be a substitute for war. And that by putting conflicting ideas out into the public airwaves for consideration and discussion, we can all come to know and understand each other better and avoid killing each other. Gee, what a concept. So, Luke Hill was at the helm pretty much of Pacifica and KPFA through the mid to late 50s, when quite predictably there was a certain amount of factionalism and crisis and strife, nothing that we are strangers to today here at the Pacifica Network, which emerged most significantly for the first time. And in the midst of this, Luke Hill took his own life in 1957. He turned on the gas in his car in his garage and took his own life. The station and the network survived, fortunately, and the focus began to change in the 1960s. It became somewhat less wedded to the original very idealistic notion of radio as a substitute for war, and instead turned into radio as a voice against war, particularly the war in Vietnam, and started becoming more advocacy radio, radio propounding a POV, a point of view. And as I've, you know, said before, both of these visions continue to persist at BAI and at the network generally today. And the advocacy radio position is dominant. That's what dominates the airwaves, especially during the daylight hours. And then late night radio, you know, where freeform, kind of, you know, seat of your pants radio takes place, where we can sort of, let down our hair and actually throw ideas out for discussion and have, a more nuanced, sort of programming, true to the original spirit. Now, this is appropriate. I would say that this balance or this juxtaposition of these two ideas is appropriate. And probably the original founding doctrine was a tad on the naive side. And that there does need to be a very strong and, in fact, dominant advocacy voice at the Pacifica Network in these extremely challenging times. But there also has to be a survival, at least, on these airwaves of something which is truer to the original spirit. So all of that said, by way of introduction, on the original spirit, the Pacifica mission statement, written by Lou Hill and his buds way back in 1949. A, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which ensures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. B, to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended. C. In radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. D, in radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors. To gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups. And through any and all means compatible with the purposes of the corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. E. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. There we have it, in its entirety, the Pacifica mission statement. So, the one passage, in addition, I mean, certain people would like to emphasize, as is wholly appropriate, the, for instance, invoking of the writing and production of radio drama, which is something which is largely, although by no means exclusively, fallen by the wayside at the network generally. But I would particularly like to draw your attention to paragraph D, in radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors. To gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote and study the political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. Okay, that's our first reading. Let's see, what else have we got here? Okay, so to move on to the current situation. A few more readings. Let's see if I can get through them all in 10 minutes. Okay, you're probably aware that Bernard White, until recently our program director, apparently no longer is. He was suspended at the beginning of the drive, and as of May 19th, well, I will read from the Justice and Unity website, justiceunity.org. Bernard White received official termination Tuesday, May 19th. If you haven't heard, Bernard White was fired yesterday as program director by interim general manager imported from Berkeley, LaVarn Williams, on Malcolm X's birthday, no less. More to follow on this latest reinforcement of the coup. This reinforces the urgency of all our forms of work to take back WBAI. So says the Justice and Unity faction. And let's see. They, in fact, have launched a new website entitled exactly that, takebackwbai.org. You can, if you want to see what they have to say, you can go there, takebackwbai.org, which states that the Pacifica Foundation, in concert with a reactionary faction of the local station board, has used its influence to take aggressive action against executive staff at WBAI. Key staff members have been removed and barred from the station. Other staff is being, I would believe the correct tense would be are, other staff are being, although it says is being, gagged, quote-unquote, and cannot speak out about any of this for fear of losing their jobs or access to the station, as in the case of non-paid producers and support staff. I don't know. If there's a gag, I'm not aware of it. And I'm discussing station business, as it were, right now. So we'll see if indeed there are any repercussions for me doing so. So I'm not sure about the word gag. And I'm more uncertain about the word coup. You know, that's a word which shouldn't be thrown around lightly. Now, you can take issue with the changes which are being instated. You can fight them as unjust. You can fight them as ill-considered. You can even fight them as perhaps, if you can make the case, institutionally unsound, so to speak, skirting regulations, etc. But calling it a coup strikes me as an overstatement. I'm sort of not getting that. The biggest, as I mentioned before, you know, the biggest point which was marshaled in defense of station autonomy back when the real coup took place, the Christmas coup of Christmas 2000, was that it had been done, over the objections and without consulting the station board. And now, you know, this has not been the case, okay? Let's see here. Not been the case this time around. Let's see. Here we go. Once again, this time it's being done apparently pursuant to a vote of the local station board. Okay, that's the first fact which needs to be grappled with. Okay, continuing to read text from the TakeBackWBAI.org statement. The Coalition to Take Back WBAI is a group of WBAI listeners, staff, and activist organizations. We think New York's diverse communities should control our station. WBAI is, quote, the voice of the voiceless and a beacon of freedom and justice. But a spring 2009 coup by Grace Aaron, interim executive director of Pacifica, threatens to change that. Aaron ordered the locks changed on our transmitters so programming could be controlled from Pacifica HQ, headquarters in Berkeley, California. Next, she imposed a gag rule on dissenting producers. For years, WBAI's program director Bernard White has been the target of a racist campaign led by a member of WBAI's local station board. The board majority, affiliated with ACE, the Alliance for Community Elections, made White a scapegoat. They blamed him for WBAI's financial problems. In May, Aaron removed general manager Tony Riddle, fired and banned Bernard White, and banned producer Io Harrington, who opposed the coup. All right, so let's examine this statement. Here it says, help us take back WBAI. We welcome endorsements from all individuals and community groups who support a progressive, multiracial, multi-ethnic vision for our station, it concludes. Okay. Once again, I think that the word coup is being used too loosely. You can oppose what's being done without calling it a coup. It hasn't been done through extra legal means, or at least I haven't heard any persuasive argument as that it is being done through extra legal means, as the Christmas coup of 2000 quite clearly and unequivocally was. Okay, that's the first question, the first thing I take issue with here. As I've said before, I'm not convinced that there's a gag rule. If there is, nobody's told me about it. Let's see, a band from the station. Well, I haven't heard the update. The original press release when from Bernard when he was initially put on suspension was that he was not able to gain access to the station to collect his personal papers and effects. If that's the case, I protest that in the strongest terms. He is certainly entitled to do so, at a minimum. So I hope that it is not the case that Bernard has been banned from the premises or from having his point of view on the air. I hope that that's not the case. Let's see, what else have we got here? The notion that there is a racist campaign led by a member of WBAI's local station board. Well, I'm glad they put it in the singular. It would strike me as more forthright to say who this particular member was and to call him out by name. I actually view it as an improvement that they are using the singular rather than the plural, rather than portraying all opposition to the dominant faction at WBAI for many, many years as racism, because that is, once again, oversimplified. This is not to say that there haven't been ugly instances and ongoing elements of racism, unfortunately, and certain people who sound like a cliche of scared white reaction in the people who have been calling for regime change at WBAI, because it's quite obvious that that unfortunately has been the case. But painting with too broad a brush can be quite dangerous. And I'll have more to say about that in just a minute. But the one more wording in this text, which I wish to draw people's attention to, is that the board majority affiliated with ACE, the Alliance for Community Elections, made white a scapegoat. Well, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, Bernard White was, in fact, the program director during the period when WBAI went deeply into fiscal crisis. So he has to take some responsibility for that. Now, given that he was the one who was actually in a position of power, I'm not quite sure about the use of the word scapegoat. Now, if you want to make a case that that the entire fiscal mess at WBAI was due to factionalism, which had paralyzed Bernard's efforts to do the right thing, well, you know, maybe you can make that case, but make it. I don't see it being made. Merely without explanation to say that White had been made a scapegoat when he was, in fact, in charge, just doesn't quite add up logically, does it? All right, and then finally, the whole notion of painting with a broad brush. Let's go to the endorsers page. Take a coalition to take back WBAI list in formation. There's a lot of names on here which are very good, and they wisely and astutely put them up front on the list of endorsers, including Pam Africa, Stanley Aronowitz, City Council member Charles Barron. But if you continue to go down the list, there's some quite unseemly ones, including the International Action Center. Now, I don't have to remind listeners that I hope that the International Action Center is a front group for a totalitarian fascistic cult, which goes by the name of the Workers' World Party, which supports dictatorships and genocide and North Korean nuclear testing and so on. So, You know, if you're going to start painting with a broad brush and using guilt by association tactics, you might want to make sure that your own house is in order. So, you know, I urge people to check out the TakeBackWBAI.org website and judge for yourself. And also to check out the JusticeUnity.org website and judge for yourself. But to take what you know, to view the material that you see there with a critical eye, as you should view the material that you get from Pacifica with a critical eye, and from the so-called independents and ACE and whatever they call themselves. View it all with a critical eye. It's 1 o'clock in the morning on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. You know, there's one more thing I want to read, and then we'll take listener phone calls. If anybody wants to call in, and how do you like that? Nobody's calling in, which is probably all for the best. I'll be just as happy to play 20 minutes of Amal Mercus as to take listener phone calls. So if you don't want to call in, please don't. But just in case you do, the number is 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. The one last thing I want to read is a statement, May 15th, from WBAI's own public affairs director, Kathy Davis, which answers some of what you will find on the Take Back WBAI website. Dear listeners and supporters, I'm reading this because it is addressed to dear listeners and supporters of WBAI. This is an open letter. I have served, once again, this is Kathy Davis. I have served as public affairs director of WBAI Radio for 6 years, and I am completely dedicated to the mission of Pacifica and maintaining the integrity of WBAI. I do not support and would not support a takeover by forces from within the network. Neither will I support local forces which would risk the loss of our radio station and which wage a campaign of distortion in order to manipulate the hearts and minds of our listeners for their own personal gain or salvation. During my tenure as PA director, I have always done my best to serve the needs of the producers and hosts. I respect their work and honestly believe that WBAI has some of the best programming in the Pacifica Network and the potential for vast growth. I also understand that there are some programs that need to be improved, producers who need to be trained, and new programming that needs to be developed. Many stakeholders throughout the network have assumed that WBAI's failure to be self-sustaining is because of local programming. My position as staff representative to the Pacifica National Board, I have defended the work of our producers and have maintained that the problems in New York have not been solely due to the programming, but rather to the lack of efficiency in planning at the management level. Most producers have valiantly come to the air time and again to raise funds, despite the reality that our drives have gotten longer and longer and become less and less successful. In my role as a senior staff member at WBAI, I have on many occasions attempted to defend producers from the actions of management that I have perceived to be arbitrary and capricious. I have filed grievances during the administrations of Dan Coughlin and Don Rojas, Greg Gruma, and Robert Scott Adams, meaning local administrations here at BAI, and attempted to gain the attention of Nicole Sawaya during her short tenure as executive director, I believe, meaning executive director of Pacifica, of the National, all to no avail. The paid staff tried to get support for proper management of the drives by writing into our contract a requirement that the staff would have at least 30 days to plan our fund drives. This was ignored. We were merely instructed to tack on more days and make the fund drives longer. And when this strategy played itself out, we were then led to lower the financial goals of the drives. For the most part, we have still not even met most of these lowered expectations either. During the last year and a half, the premium situation has completely broken down. We have received thousands of complaints. While engaged in fundraising, we have received as many as 50 to 100 complaints a day. I'm not speaking for these figures. These are Kathy's figures, but I have no reason to doubt them. Yet for almost a year, nothing has been done to improve the situation. At one point, as many as 6,000 listeners had not received their premiums. As a consequence of this failure, the staff had to face two phases of layoffs and cutbacks. WBAI has not contributed to or held up its obligation to help sustain the network. And the network has been drained of its resources as the money to pay bills and salaries was taken from other stations. The situation has been developing for years, yet nothing was done about it. The status quo was held in place by previous administrations and political operatives throughout the network. I cannot begin to speculate on the motives, but I do know that the operative mechanism for keeping the status quo in place is by COINTELPRO style divisive arguments and personal attacks based on race, religion, and political affiliations. This strategy has been and continues to be to attack the person without providing a coherent argument on its merits. Engaging in mass campaigns, asking people to copy and paste form letters. Using mass phone call systems to contact supporters alleging their prevailing propaganda. Personal attacks, engaging in hostile behavior, harassment, and retribution towards staff that resist or speak out. The directive of our current interim executive director, Grace Aaron, to prevent libelous statements from being made on the air is just that. There is no gag rule at WBAI. The truth is that the network is unable to sustain this situation any longer. WBAI has recently fallen 4 months behind in rent on its facilities, and concurrently 2 months behind on rent for the transmitter. The station has received two notices to quit, which are basically notices to pay up or get out. If the worst were to happen, it would not release the Pacifica network from its financial obligations. Pacifica is the license holder and would become liable for paying the full financial obligations of WBAI, including the full obligation of our leases and not just the back rent. Therefore, if this situation ends up in court, Pacifica would have to liquidate its assets, which includes 5 broadcast licenses, 3 buildings, and other financial assets. Once this thing gets started, all of the network's debtors will come out of the woodwork and all of Pacifica would be lost, auctioned off to pay our debts. Is this how we want to honor the legacy of this great institution? These coming months are the last opportunity to get back on our feet, salvage WBAI, and build a self-sustaining station and stronger network. No individual, political agenda, or partisan politic is more important than the institution itself. And she closes with an action alert. Some things you can do to help WBAI. 1, make a donation. 212-209-2950. Actually, there's nobody back there to take your call now, but WBAI.org. Make a donation there. 2, help in the phone room. 3, donate food and snacks for the volunteers. 4, give some time to help send out premiums. Very important. 5, use your email list to promote WBAI and its fund drives. 6, put a link to WBAI on your website. 7, hold a fundraising party. 8, support WBAI fundraising events. 9, bring your creative ideas, talent, and skills to the table. 10, run for a place on the WBAI local station board. 11, vote in the upcoming Pacifica local station board elections. 12, ask questions and investigate the truth of what you are being told. 13, uphold and support the mission of Pacifica. Best regards, Kathy Davis, Public Affairs Director, WBAI, Independent Staff Representative, WBAI LSB, and Director, Pacifica National Board. Okay, on the subject of the fund drive, once again, it seems like this fund drive may actually meet its goal, be the first one in quite a while to do so, and the goal apparently is the $800,000, which is just enough to get us out of the red. So it would really give me a big, big, big sense of optimism if we managed to do it. Now, in terms of Kathy's assertion that there is no gag rule at WBAI, well, I'm always one to err on the side of freedom of speech. So if there's no gag rule, I say it's incumbent upon the producers and whoever's behind the microphone to push the limits. And I hope that I've done so tonight. I'm prepared to do so in the remaining 20 minutes if anybody wants to call in at 212-209-2950. 212-209-2900. And there's only two people calling, so it's probably just usual suspects. So I'm going to play a little bit more Amal Mercus and give you all a chance to call. 212-209. Oh, okay. Actually, now we got some more people calling. What the hell? Let's see. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
In the statement you just read by Kathy, there was a sentence there which said, all the debtors will come out of the woodwork.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. Shouldn't that word be all the creditors?
I'm not going to take the time to go back and check the actual text, yes, you may have caught Kathy in a small error.
I think I did.
But the meaning was clear.
Okay.
That's all you have to say?
Okay. No.
Okay, well, whatever else you have to say.
Also concerning Kathy.
Yes.
I am...
No. I want to keep it on issues rather than personalities.
In the world.
I hear you using too many pronouns. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. I'd like to say that poor WBAI, where you mentioned the gag rule, but I believe poor WBAI is gagging.
What do you mean?
Meaning that they're choking.
What do you perceive that we are choking on?
Well, in other words, meaning that financially...
Well, yes, but it looks like, yes, we know we're financially ailing, but it looks like there's some light at the end of the tunnel now, and it's not an oncoming train.
I hope we
may actually make enough this fund drive to get out of the red.
That's only if everybody that made the pledge sends the money in.
There's
always a certain amount of people that don't do that.
Right, but this time, everybody who pledged is going to send in their money, because this time, they understand that it's very, very, very important to do so. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. WBAI, you're on the air.
I agree.
Please turn down your radio.
Yeah, did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Why was Bernard White fired?
Oh, boy. Well, for starters, I'm still getting some feedback, so I think you still have to turn down your radio. Look, I'm not the one who made any decisions, so you're asking the wrong person. You might want to direct that towards the local station board and the Pacifica National Board. But I will say that, it's been quite obvious that the station was deeply in crisis, and somebody had to take some responsibility for it. I don't feel that that's a particularly radical statement.
Well, except that it doesn't... Bernard was program chairman.
Program director,
yeah. So... If there were difficulties with the programming, if it was poor, if it wasn't getting audience and so on, that's his fault. But if money wasn't being raised, or if money was being spent carelessly, so that the station was in financial troubles, that's not the problem of the program director.
Well, one would think that there is some relation between, programming and listenership and ability to fundraise, right? One would think that there's some relationship there.
Yeah. No, that's true. But apparently money was not carefully spent, and the income was not carefully regarded when spending was when people spent money. So that's I don't know. It just seems like a lot of openness until direct questions are asked, and then there's no openness. Anyway, I still like the station. I've been listening for years, and I'll probably go on listening for years.
Well, I encourage you to go on listening, and I encourage you to pay your pledge if you made one, and I encourage you to ask questions. And if you want answers, it's perfectly legitimate to ask them over the airwaves and put them forth for the consideration of the listening audience and the public. But if you want answers, then you've got to direct them to the people who are in a decision-making capacity, and that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, station manager, as well as the program director, were that position was also changed. So,
Who's the new station manager now? Now I'm getting
LaVarne Williams is the interim station manager, I understand. And I don't know who the new program director is. I don't know if the position's been filled.
Okay, well, fun is as fun as fun, and then I guess we'll just wait. I'm so glad you're on, though. You really are about the only one who talks about the station itself. And I appreciate
I'm not.
You.
I'm far from the only one who talks about the station itself. But I would like to think that I do bring a more of a an air of reason and objectivity to the question of the station itself than many of
I
the others.
I guess that's what I meant, yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, I appreciate you, and I thank you.
Well, I thank you for appreciating me and for saying so.
You're welcome.
We're going to move on. WBAI, you're on the air. Okay, it seems that we've entered the crank section. Let's see if we've... And now we've entered the mysterious disappearing caller section. You're on the air.
Yo, ho, ho.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Dr. Block calling, Jack Block. I'm an ardent supporter of the station, and I'd like to offer just a few ideas.
I've got to offer you an idea first. Turn down your radio. If you're an ardent supporter of the station, you should know by now that when you call in, you have to turn down the radio so we don't get feedback. Right.
Better now?
Thank you.
All right. First, I don't want to use names, and please forgive me if I just use this name, Tony. I don't know his last name. I think first, if the station wanted to save money, I don't believe that this man has changed much.
Hang on a minute. For starters, you're using names, and I'd rather not use names. And second of all, you're referring to him in the present tense. He's moved on to another position in the Pacifica Network. Stay tuned. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and speak up, please. Hello.
You are gagging listeners right now.
How so?
Mm-hmm. Because I criticize and find fault with that statement which Kathy Davis made using the word debtors instead of creditors such an egregious mistake. She also believes that the planets of the universe have consciousness.
Well, how do you know that they don't? WBAI, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio and speak up.
Yes, Bill, you're a brave man.
Is your radio on?
Let me turn it off.
Yes, was what I said. Turn down the radio and speak up.
Yes, can you hear me?
I'm still getting some feedback, but go ahead.
Yeah, just quickly, you're a brave man. Want to congratulate you on that, and I just hope that there isn't a gag rule. I'm trying to just get information about the whole situation. It's just odd, though, that the other side doesn't seem, the ace side doesn't seem to have any, it seems to be much more secretive, you know? So that's just my point.
Secretive?
Secretive meaning that they're not really putting out their issues. It's almost as if they know they're in control now, and, you get what I'm saying?
Not entirely, but that's okay. I'd like, well, you know, they're not being forthcoming with propaganda because at the moment they've got the upper hand. So they're not.
They do have the upper hand.
Right. So there isn't an imperative upon them to protest.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of logical.
Okay.
But
well,
if you feel that they're not being forthcoming with information, if you feel there's a lack of transparency there, I'd like to know why you feel that way.
Again, I don't see how programming has to do with the fundraising. The expenses that...
All right, hang on a second. Can I respond a little bit here?
Sure.
Okay. First, I want to preface this by saying that if there, is in the coming weeks... any kind of, draconian purge of programmers, such as we saw following the Christmas coup of 2000, I pledge that I will protest it over these airwaves, okay? And if I happen to fall prey to the chopping block, I hope that other people will protest on behalf of me. So I'm not supporting, by no means am I supporting some kind of, wholesale purge of the programmers. And I think that we should be very, very, very judicious about changing the programming at the station. On the other hand, that said, I think it's completely self-deluding to deny that there is a link between what goes out over the airwaves and the station's ability to accrue listeners who are going to be willing to give up their hard-earned money to support the station. Of course, these things are linked.
I think with at least many many individuals that I come into contact with, even some that are activists, I'm kind of like an ersatz activist to a little degree, is that there's not a connection between actually having to, you know, a lot of people say that they're listeners, but when you actually check, have you actually subscribed and are a paid listener subscriber now? In my opinion, and I say this to all of the listeners, if you are not a paid subscriber, regardless of what your point of view and not up to date, then this is my opinion, you're absolutely useless.
Okay. All right. Once again, allow me to respond. I certainly, you know, I mean, you've heard me every time I have to go in front of this microphone and raise money. You have heard me appeal precisely to those people who listen, who are not members, to, in fact, shell out the $25 and become a member. So you know that fundamentally I agree with you. On the other hand, you also have to acknowledge that it's been, you know, over the past 5 years or so that the station has gone into financial crisis, but it's gone deeply into the red. And there's a lot of reasons that this could have happened. And I've been arguing, you know, that it isn't just about the programming, that it's also about the way the media landscape is changing in America generally. And it's about the generalized financial crisis. All of these are factors, without a doubt. But I don't think that we can dismiss the factor of what's going out over the airwaves either. Because, you know, when I have pointed to these more universal factors, such as the financial crisis, the pro-regime change elements have been quick to point out that, you know, the other Pacifica stations are not in crisis, and WFMU is not in crisis, and WFUV is not in crisis, and KCR is not in crisis, etc. So, you know, there's a danger to, you know, pointing to any one root cause and holding it up as the only cause. There's also a danger to completely dismissing any one cause of the crisis.
Okay.
All right. All right. We're going to move on.
Sure. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for yours. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio and speak up.
Yes, Peter. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the exposition. It was very helpful. my question is very concrete, and I know it's perhaps too late right now in the midst of the crisis. It seems to me that the location at the present location is extremely expensive, and I don't see why WBAI has to
let me respond, because I want to keep it rocking along so we can squeeze in as many calls as we can in the less than 10 minutes remaining to us. You know, I've actually heard conflicting information. So if somebody else knows the facts, maybe they can clue me in about whether the current location of 120 Wall Street, in fact, is costing us more in rent than 505 8th Avenue did. So I don't know if that's the case or not. I will say that I find this new location to be extremely alienating down here on Wall Street, and I felt much more at home up in the more working class environs of 35th Street. But I'll also have to say that moving itself would be a big expense. So it might not be the wisest move. I'm not privy to the figures, and I can barely do simple addition, so I shouldn't be anybody who's making any analysis based on finances. But I don't know if in fact it would be cost effective to move or not. This is certainly a concern which should be explored. WBAI, you're on the air. Turn down your radio, please, and speak up. Turn down your radio and speak up.
Yes. Hi, it's off now. I had heard the same thing, that the station finances had gone down ever since the move, and that some people were advising against it at the time.
Well, no, but the move was, my God, when was the move now? The move was 10 years ago or perhaps
before
more.
The Christmas coup, and then it's like that. But that
but
was
not,
like,
not immediately before the Christmas coup. And in any event, the sharp financial, you know, turndown has been over the past 5 years and most significantly over the past 12 months, not over the past 10 years since we moved here to 120 Wall Street. So I'm not sure that's the explanation or the sole explanation, at least.
No, definitely not the sole, but I think that was the beginning of problems, from my perspective.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate your show a lot.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. WBAI, you're on the air. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. I think one. I think the WBAI audience needs to hear something about all the new arrivals, hosts on WBAI and taking a look at that. I believe Bernard White, as program director, has been the racist individual in the new arrivals at BAI.
Well, I don't quite know what you mean by the new arrivals, and I'm not sure I want to get into a personality focused discussion. WBAI, you're on the air. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I have donated twice during the current drive.
Thank you.
But I don't feel terribly hopeful right now because the idea of change can either go for the better or it can go for the worse. Like you said, the thing that would make me feel most hopeful would be to see Earthwatch back on the air. Have Robert Knight back would really make me feel that the soul of WBAI was being replenished. I'd like to answer the woman who was inquiring about Bernard White's firing and give one possible cause, and that is that during the last year and a half or so, when the situation with the premiums became so bad,
Bernard is not here to defend himself. I'd really rather not. Look, we've already acknowledged the fact that things fell into disarray under his watch. I don't feel there's much need to elaborate
on
it.
The fact that the premiums department was, for a bit, it was,
Listen, please. We are digging ourselves out of this hole, okay? We are getting on top of the premium situation. And, look, as I said, you may recall that when we first got the news that Bernard was suspended before he was formally fired, the first thing I said is that I questioned the wisdom of doing this, particularly in the middle of at the start of a fund drive, because I thought that it was going to increase the degree of factionalism and general discombobulation and would bode poorly for the fund drive. And as I said at the beginning of the show, this fear of mine, fortunately, has not been vindicated, and this fund drive has been successful thus far and may, in fact, make its goal of $800,000. It seems likely that it will if things keep going well. So I am more optimistic now than I was at the start of the fund drive.
Hopefully a lot of people are pledging because they want to be able to participate in the election.
And it looks like somebody's actually back there because apparently the total stands at 60. I can't even read large numbers. It stands at 68 and change, as opposed to 6,800 and change. There we go. 685. There we go. Sorry, $685,000. There we go. Thank you very much, whoever is back there in tally. $685,000 as opposed to $800,000 we have to make. So did I get that right? I think I got that right, more or less, right? So we're well on our way. I would say I'm more optimistic than I was when I was feeling extremely apocalyptic indeed a few weeks ago.
Well, I do want to thank you for having the discussion. It's important. There is not a gag rule. It's just that Grace Aaron said that
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.